You're listening to Grassroots, www.innovationstudios.com. I'm Marcus, and I'm back again for another week to take your questions. Week 44, I believe, of the Q&A. But of course, that's been spread out over a few years, along with the Final Curtain Call podcast, along with the road stories, along with the interviews that I did, and alongside also the introduction to music for people that I can't remember what it's called. Do you know that? It's my podcast and I can't remember what it's called. What a shocker. The First Steps, that was it, The First Steps. It's been a long day and I've only been up half an hour. Anyway, look, I'm going to start today with a bit of a strange one, but it's a non-music related thing, but it's worth knowing, all right? This is my job sometimes, to give you little snippets of information that you might not know. Nothing serious, everyone out there. There's nothing wrong with me, but I went. I had to go for a blood test yesterday morning, and it took ages for them to get the blood out of me. And the reason was, they said I had a bit of a slow vein. But what happened was, I hadn't had anything to drink, because it was a very early blood test. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, and I got up out of bed and got straight there. So what they said was, you need to have a pint of water. If you're going for a blood test, have half or a pint of water, so that the blood is easier to extract from the vein. So there you go. So if you go in, I didn't think it would make that much of a difference, but if you don't want to be sat in the chair any longer than you need to, and trust me, blood tests are no fun anyway, as I'm sure many of you know, make sure you have half a pint or a pint of water before you go, so that everything is able to come out. I don't know why that's the case, but it's a scientific reason, I'm sure, that is way beyond me. But that, that's my advice for today. If you're going for a blood test, get a pint of water in you before you go. You might need a wee when you're there, but you won't be sat in a chair for so long when they're trying to take the blood out of you. I always use my granddad's line, God, leave me enough to get home with. Anyway, let's get to your questions. First question comes from Dave. I do love Daves. Everybody knows a Dave, don't they? And I know one now, Dave. Where are you from, Dave? Let's have a little look through your email. Doesn't say Dave. No, it doesn't say where you're from, Dave. But people, put where you're from. I know some of you do, but try and put where you're from so I know who I'm talking to and whereabouts you are in the country, because I might be playing a show there. I might come and say hello. I might knock on your door and pop in for a sandwich and a cup of tea. I'm quite trustworthy, I promise you. Anyway, here's the first question from Dave, and he said, a friend of mine had his gear stolen out of the back of his car. Do you have any security advice for protecting the gear? Well, other than getting a big dog in the back of the car, I mean, the honest answer, Dave, and I'm not, this isn't to say that anything against your mate, because my brother had some stuff stolen out of his car, and you've got to remember that these people are professional thieves. But in a case like your mate, and in a case like a couple of stories that I've heard, it's usually opportunism. And it's a case of, sometimes if you're on your own doing a gig and your gear is out in the car, the amount of times that I've seen somebody carrying in two speakers and you look through the window and their car is still parked with all the doors open. So I know it's a pain, but you've got to take those speakers off the car. You've got to shut the boot or the back doors, lock it, central lock it, take the speakers in, go back out. The other way of doing it, I know it's common sense, but sometimes people don't always see that, is to get, if you're parked near an entrance or parked near the door, get everything from there through just in the front door, so your eyes are always on your car. But most importantly, it's really common sense. See, what happened with my brother's situation was, he was staying at services, and as I said, they're professional thieves, and what they usually do is they have somebody small with them, either one of their kids or whatever, and they make a small hole in one of the windows, or a small enough hole, and they climb in, and then they're able to hand stuff through. And this is how they do it. I mean, they're professional thieves. But the security advice, I mean, obviously you should have everything, have your equipment insured. And also, if you have guitars, guitars have serial numbers, so try and write the serial numbers down for those guitars, because they do have, just on the headstock, on the back of the headstock, most guitars have a serial number, and it's a unique serial number to that guitar. So if you are purchasing a new guitar or getting a new guitar, you can just make a note of the security number or the serial number of that guitar. And if it does get stolen, at least you have slightly more of a chance of being reacquainted with it if you know the serial number of that guitar. Because you can check eBay and you can check cash converters. You've got to remember, and I know it sounds harsh, but I can be a bit harsh, but what I am is real. Most of it's drugs, right? Or most of it's just... And what they do is they steal your gear, and in these days of shops like cash converters and stuff like that, if you have your gear stolen, they're the first places you should ring. Cash converters and stuff like that. Sometimes people just sell stuff in pubs just trying to get some money for, I'm assuming, for drugs, but whatever it is. Usually you can get them to cash converters, give them the serial number of the guitar. They might have it, you don't know. But at least you're making a note of that. But it's really just having common sense. You try not to leave any of your stuff around. You try not to leave the doors of the car. Don't leave your car open while you're carrying stuff into the venue. Just lock it, even if it's only 30 yards, all right? Because if they grab your guitar out the back and they've got a 30-yard head start on you and they're going away from you, you might not catch them, particularly if you're wearing your nice gig shoes. So, yeah, just common sense. Make sure your car's locked when you're bringing the stuff in. The other thing as well is don't leave stuff overnight, ideally. I know sometimes it's unavoidable, but sometimes, even if you're staying at a travel lodge, if there are enough of you that you can all grab something and take it in the room with you, take it in the room with you. Don't leave it out in the van or out in the car, because these people are professional thieves. They'll see a bunch of blokes get out of a van and they'll think, okay, so it's probably a group or there's bound to be something worth money. They case the joint, you know, that's what they do. So, honestly, Dave, you've got to be careful, but... Note the serial numbers down. Make a note of all your equipment, which you should have a note of anyway if it's all PAT tested, which everyone has to be PAT tested or should be PAT tested, and should have some sort of insurance. Musicians Union used to do it. But there are other companies out there that will help you to insure your equipment. But the most important thing is to ensure your equipment doesn't get stolen by keeping the doors locked. Don't leave it unattended. If you don't have to, sometimes it's unavoidable. But I hate things like that. I don't like leaving my gear when I've got to come in, but my doors are locked, and I'm probably a bit OTT with it. But it's only because I don't want to, touch wood, be one of those unfortunate people who just let your guard down for a second. So security advice: note the serial numbers of the guitars. So you've got them. Make sure everything's insured, and then never leave your car unattended. Lock your car when you're taking everything in, or try and get everything from the car to the nearest available door and have someone stand there, and then take it all from there to the stage once everything's in, so it's a shorter journey. But other than that, hopefully you'll never come across that, and I'm sorry that your mate had his stuff stolen. Unfortunately, there are what Alan Partridge would call subhuman scum out there who will take your gear. Innovation Studios hoodies, many colours and sizes available. Our logo proudly emblazoned on the front. The back can be personalised with your name or your nickname or anything you want, as long as it isn't too shocking. Click to order online www.innovationstudios.com. Subhuman scum. I don't know. Right, I've got a question here from Lucy. Hello, Lucy. And Lucy is from, let's have a look through, Leytonstone. Lucy from Leytonstone. Hiya, darling. Somebody's put their location on there. It's always nice. Leytonstone. I like Leytonstone. I was only there the other week, but I don't think you were at my gig, Lucy. You haven't mentioned that you were. Your question is very, very simple, and it just says, who does the talking? Right. Okay. But usually, as a rule, if you like, the front man usually does a lot of the talking. But, you know, it doesn't matter as long as you get a good rapport. I think if you've got somebody who's standing and going, I mean, I've seen some really successful bands that had great lead singers and great front men, and they didn't talk between songs. because although they were happy singing, they were too nervous to talk between songs. It seems funny to me, but then I suppose I've always just been the one that did a lot of the talking. But we always used to, Walter all used to bounce ideas or say things or have a bit of banter. It's not a problem. When it comes to doing the talking with regards to getting things done or booking stuff, or you just want somebody who's I think I said last week, who's got good people skills, who's able to talk to people and just say, look, this is what we're looking to do, and try and get everything organised. You don't want somebody, you do want somebody meticulous, but you don't want somebody who's questioning every single thing, you know. You want to be able to just say, look, this is what we want to do, and whatever. So when it comes to who does the talking, if you're liaising with a venue or liaising with, an agent or a recording studio or something, usually it's the one with the best people skills. Somebody will take the bull by the horns and say, just let me do it. You know, I'll ring them. And I think most bands have a member of the band who's responsible for that. It just kind of happens. I'll make a few phone calls and I'll sort a few things out, and it's very much like having a group, like a meeting group, and they need a treasurer, or they need somebody to book things, or they need somebody to organize things, and people step up and they say, I'll do it for the group, you know. So I think the person who's best equipped in each situation, if it's a case of talking on stage, I'm not a huge fan of long monologues. Now, I know I do a long monologue every Friday at 5 o'clock, but I'm not a big fan of that on stage. It, no names mentioned, but it always surprises me when I go and see people who have been in bands for years, who were in bands, you know, way before I even started, and some of them before I was born, that they'll play a song and have a nice full dance floor and then talk after that song instead of playing another one. I've always believed in having a nice busy dance floor and have people dancing and singing along as much as you can. I, if anything, probably went the other way and didn't do a lot of talking between songs. Now I feel a little bit more confident talking between songs. If there's a lull, if there's a bit of a break, some people, you let them dance for 3 or 4 songs and the dance floor kind of clears and you can talk to them for a while and slow it down. But, you know, getting the pacing right, we've talked about that before, pace your gigs out, have a look at what the audience are doing. Don't just play your songs in the order that you've got them written down and talk in between every single one, because you won't ever get a full dance floor. Or you will, but maybe only for 3 minutes. And I like to have a full dance floor for 20 minutes and then have 5-10 minutes of maybe slow ones or a little bit of banter, talking to the audience and stuff like that. Yeah, in terms of who should do the talking, it's usually the front man. If you think about over the years, the people that do the talking in the Rolling Stones is usually Mick. But, you know, in Oasis, it was Liam and Noel. And in The Who, it's Roger, and often Pete says a few things. So anybody who feels like talking, I suppose. But don't let somebody talk if they're likely to go off on a tangent. And if somebody sort of says, oh, I was reminded of this story, 3 men walked into a bar, just shut up, tell. Just get on with a gig, you know. But who should do the talking? Who should do the organisation? The one who probably has the best people's skills. Thank you for your question. Here we go. Having a look down. I had another question here from Ryan, and he said, can you find different word rhythms? I covered that last week, Ryan, where you can put rhymes in different places. So rhymes in different places, different faces, different cases. So you can do something like that depending on the song. It might just be find a word rhythm in a different place whenever it is that I might see your face. And hopefully from then I'll get on the case. So you can put these rhythms in all different ways. I'm making this up as I go. That's how damn good I am. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but that's basically it, Ryan. Can you find different word rhythms? Yes, you can. And also, as I said, it's not a case of it being a limerick. And I must say that I did have a text message from a friend of mine who said, will you please tell us what that is? Because he said, there's been 2 or 3 times that you've talked about this and you've quoted, there was a young man from Newcastle who could wrap himself up like a parcel. And he said, you've got to tell us what the rest of it is. Now, I can't because it's rude. All right. But yeah, maybe I'll do it. You know, my very last one when I can just get out of here, and I think that's my very last one. I might just tell you what it is. But yeah, so there was a young man from Newcastle who could wrap himself up like a parcel. But in terms of different word rhythms, there are all different ways of finding it and different ways of writing songs, so the rhythm always isn't in the right place. But good luck if you are a songwriter. Write what you feel. It doesn't have to always rhyme, as long as it's, you know, as long as it's right for you. That's all that matters, matey. Have you ever wanted your own song, your own walk-on music, your own jingle, maybe your own personalised wedding dance? Our team of professional songwriters at Innovation Studios have been composing jingles, original songs, parodies, walk-on themes and instrumentals for years and are ready to work with you to create the perfect music for you. From wrestling, darts and boxing intros to first dances for newlyweds, TV themes, chants and songs in any style with lyrics tailored exclusively to the team or individual. Have an original song written exclusively for that special person in your life, or celebrate a special occasion with the perfect song, written with your help and input to say everything that you want to say, creating an original and different memory that will live forever. All of our songs are royalty free and only a one-off payment is required. There aren't any hidden costs afterwards. Once the song or theme is written and recorded, it will be yours and yours alone. The only thing that we ask is that we can use part of it for promotional purposes afterwards. Contact our songwriting team at Innovation Studios for further information. www.innovationstudios.com. Alex from Muswell Hill. I like Muswell Hill. Hi, Marcus. I just wondered, within a band, what would be the best way to address an issue? Politely, if you can. You don't want to turn around and go, what the hell was that you just played? The best way to address an issue sometimes, if in the case of bands I've been in, I think you learn over time. You never call somebody out. You know, if you've got, not that I have had much of this. Most of the people I've worked with have been great. But on the odd occasion where somebody might turn up late for a gig or not be wearing the right stuff or just might not be pulling their weight, I've always found that rather than calling them out, you might ring them the next day and just say, look, can I just talk to you about something? It just feels at the moment that you're not as committed as we feel you should be. Has something, you know, in a very much like, has something happened, or do you not feel the same way about it? Ask them to maybe open up instead of turning around and going, look, this is what we expect from you. And you're not, you know, getting yourself in gear and doing the job. Sometimes it's nice to ring them up. You don't go down the Holly Willoughby road of going, first of all, are you okay? I was perfectly okay, thanks, Holly. The only reason I wasn't okay is that I was looking at you and listening to your jargon. But you go down that route of ringing them one-to-one and you try, in my opinion, I've always said, look, if you need anything or if you're struggling with any of the songs, you know, or there's anything that you, if you're struggling with the times that we rehearse or, you know, maybe we can work something out. You don't want to be, I don't really want to go down that road of going, these are the times that we rehearse, this is the set list we're playing, and we don't care what you do because we make the decisions, not you. I think, as I said last week, when you're holding auditions and you bring people in, it's nice if you make them feel welcome. And people will always be better and you will get more out of them if they feel that they are contributing and they are part of the team and that their opinions matter. And if somebody gets disillusioned within the band or isn't pulling their weight or says something on stage that they shouldn't or does something on stage that they shouldn't or, you know, obviously, depending on what it is, if they're running around the pub naked except for their guitar and, you know, and it's an 80th birthday party, then, well, they've got to go, really. But I think sometimes if somebody isn't really pulling their weight or you feel that somebody's slacking a bit, you have to ask them why. don't just assume. I mean, I know this isn't my sort of, hey, it could be mental health rant, but you don't know where everybody is mentally. You can't always know that. And I think sometimes if there is an issue within the band, if it's a health issue, that's slightly different. You know, you're all working together. But if there's an issue with somebody just not doing their job, I think all good managers that I've worked for over the years before I got into music when I was younger, and all great people that I've respected, always had a way of talking to you and saying, look, you know, you're letting things go a little bit. Is everything okay? Do you not feel the same way about the band? Are you not as committed? Is there something I can do that could pick you up? Or is there anything that we could do that would make things a little bit more comfortable for you? Are you worried that you can't hear yourself on stage? Or, you know, because people do have different things going on under the surface. One of my favourite sayings is that everybody has a different story to tell. And I can't know how they're feeling because I'm not them. And I think sometimes a lot of people lock up and they go, no, I'm all right, I'm all right. But it's not that you're getting people to open up and you're just saying to them, hey, what is it? You know, are you upset because of these issues that you have? But I think even if they turn around and just say to you, look, I've got a few things going on at home and it's making things difficult with rehearsals and making sure that I'm prepared, then at least they've told you that. You don't have to go delving into it. If they've got a, you know, marital problems or something going on at home, you don't have to ask them that. But if they admit that they have a problem that's they need to deal with personally, that is making things difficult within the band, well, what's wrong with saying to them, is there anything we can do that would make it easier for you? Is you know, do you need me to go through anything with you? You don't want every other member of the band go, well, I know my bits. I know everything I'm playing. It's not my fault you don't know them. There's usually a reason for it. It might just be that they are like that. It might just be that they are just, you know, their ambitions aren't necessarily the same as yours. Maybe they don't have the same feeling about music that you do. And I'm not like, with music, I mean, I love music and I adore music, and music has been part of my life. And it's been like probably one of the main parts of my life. If you get the order right, I mean, you've got family, health and music. Now, sometimes music comes above health because, you know, you drag yourself there when you don't feel well. And sometimes, unfortunately, it might come before family. In as much as you might have a gig, you might be just about to go on. You can't do anything about it. And, you know, you get a phone call to say your wife's waters have broken. So you get there as soon as you can. And if your baby's born while you're on stage, then unfortunately, music has come before family. But, you know, that's not everybody. Not everybody works on that theory. But music for me is a huge thing. And it's a massive part of my life, but it's not a dog. And when I say that, is in my opinion and in my experiences, people that have dogs don't understand why everybody doesn't love dogs, right? So many people that I've met, they don't understand. They let the dog jump up on you. Because I don't have a dog, but you know, but people that do, they don't understand why everybody wouldn't love them. But I'm with music. I don't look at it and think, oh, well, I love music, so everybody should love it. That's not the case. Just because I'm passionate about music and just because I want to follow everything down the line and have as much fun doing it as I can and surround myself with music, not everybody does. For some people, it's just a hobby they want to dip their toe into, and then all of a sudden they're part of a band with me and, you know, my brother and my mates, and we're out, and we're out sort of every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they're thinking, I didn't want to do this, I just wanted to play a couple of gigs a month. Everybody has different levels, and sometimes the most important way to deal with an issue is to get to the bottom of it by just saying, is there anything that we can do to make it a little easier for you? If they turn around and say, well, could you only do 3 gigs a month? You say, well, you know we can't do that, right? Because we're looking to take this band places. And if it means that there's a parting of the ways where you just say to them, look, maybe we're just after different things. So just do 2 or 3 more shows for you. We'll get somebody else in and you can go and, you know, and pursue a different, you know, pursue a different hobby or take it in a different direction that's best for you. We don't want to railroad anybody to be in here. So you have to kind of take one for the team yourself. You have to ask, you know, look, first of all, you suggest you say, look, we feel that there's a bit of a problem. We feel that something isn't, you're not quite there at the moment. Is everything okay? And they might go, no, I'm all right. You go, okay, well, if you're all right, then I'll leave you to it. But, you know, just felt a little bit today that you weren't in the room. So, okay, if there's anything we can do that will make that easier for you, then we will. But if not, you know, just know that we've picked up on it. And if there is an issue or anything, talk to us. If not, next week, just these are the songs we're going to do. Just come in and make sure you're ready. All the best. I'll catch up with you soon. But you don't need to be calling everybody out. Go, what the hell was that you playing? You were terrible. Stop. You know, so yeah, politely is the right answer. Ever wanted to play guitar? 10-minute tutorials now on YouTube. Beginner's Guitar. Marcus takes you through the early stages, tuning, basic chords and strum patterns to start you on your journey. Further information, go to www.innovationstudios.com. Janice says, hi Marcus, is exercise important? Hi Janice, exercise is always important. But I assume you mean in a musical capacity. To give you a rough idea, having sat on my backside for 18 months, pretty much eating biscuits, drinking, I don't know, hundreds of cups of tea. I'm one of these people who have a cup of tea just so I can have like half a packet of digestives. You know, I think if I have a cup of tea, I can have a couple of biscuits with it. Terrible habits, you know. But having sat on my backside for 18 months, once I started getting back in again and singing some stuff through properly, I suddenly thought, I am so out of breath here. I'm really struggling to breathe properly. So I had to do some cardio work. Not loads. I mean, I'm not Rocky. But exercise bike, plenty of walking, gentle jogging. And I mean gentle jogging. If you've ever seen me jog, my God. It's probably just above running. Just above walking is where it is. But yeah, exercise is important in as much as everybody should exercise anyway. But in a musical capacity, yeah, because being on stage and working up a sweat, and when you're singing, you don't want to get breathless. You need to build up your lung capacity and your diaphragm and your cardio just to be a better singer and maybe hold notes for longer and push a little bit harder. Remembering that the when you're singing, it's a group of muscles that you're using in order to sing. I've talked about this before, but basically when you're singing, you're like a bottle of water, and you're making a small hole at the top and squeezing the bottom with your diaphragm to squeeze the notes out. Not always, but that's simplifying it as much as I can. And if you don't have the muscle capacity down there or the lung capacity, you're going to struggle with doing that. And I struggled. I had to put a lot of work in to get back to where I am now. And I feel that although physically I'm still carrying a bit of weight and I'm not as slender, let's put it that way, or what's the word, sylph-like as I would like to be, I feel singing fit. You know, I feel like I'm able to sing strongly, but I had to do a lot of cardio, sort of 10 miles a day on the exercise bike, and build up a bit of a sweat to try and get the breathing back. Like I say, walking and stuff like that. The other thing as well is if you stood on stage 2.5 hours a night with a guitar on, guitars are not like that light. So it's good to have, you know, that will make you more breathless if you're suddenly putting on, particularly if you're Oasis kind of style guitars, you know, one of the big semi-acoustics, they weigh a ton. And some of the guitars that people play weigh a ton, particularly like bass players and stuff like that. Those guitars weigh a ton. So you need to be fit enough to be able to walk around with them without getting breathless. You know, and if you move in house, carrying a few boxes knocks you out. Well, you imagine carrying a box around for 2.5 hours and trying to get a tune out of it, you know, it's hard work. So, yes, exercise is important anyway, Janice, but from a singing point of view, it's good to strengthen your cardio and your, like I say, your lung capacity and stuff like that. Just silly little things sometimes. Blow up some balloons and just keep testing your lung capacity. See if you can blow up a balloon in one, and just all these little things. See if you can hold your breath for like 12, 15 seconds and then try and get it up to 17, 18, because it's all stretching that area. But it's not. That's not to say that that's the way. There are probably people out there who will go, what's he on about? But that's just my way of kind of finding out what I'm capable of. Sometimes I might come in the studio and just play through a set, but where I'd normally play it as open tuning, put it on capo one, so that I've just tightened everything up a little bit and I've got to push a little bit more, push the voice. So when I then take the capo back off, I've been beyond what I need to be. It's a little bit like if you've been driving M25, you know, and on a day when nobody else is on the road, which is pretty rare. But if you've been doing M25, clear road, maybe 12 o'clock noon, and you've got it up to 69, 70 miles an hour, then when you come off onto the slip road, 30 miles an hour feels really slow. But if you're pulling off your driveway and driving down the road, 30 miles an hour seems quite quick. So it's just going beyond what you need to in order to strengthen what you have. But I suppose, you know, it's one of those strange things, because if you're a singer, then the best way to strengthen what you have is to sing and push what you have. But it's always good to do exercise and strengthen the muscles that you're going to be using. And if you are a singer, Janice, I hope you're doing well, and I hope that you are fit and you are healthy and you're already on the exercise bike. And your question was pretty much a rhetorical one, because you text it as you were halfway through your 2.5 hour routine on the rowing machine. But all the best to you. Thank you for your question. And I, as always, I do appreciate it. Grassroots Music UK, in association with Innovation Studios, presents the ultimate one-day workshop for songwriters. Advice and analysis on songwriting techniques and methods, how songs are created, structured, recorded and produced. Tuition, analysis and guidance on how to make a great-sounding album on a bedroom budget, using recording software and digital audio workstation. Learn how effects and plugins work and the most effective way to use them. Mixing and mastering to CD, WAV and MP3. Adding album artwork, tags and songwriter info. Where to have your mastered CD copied in bulk for selling at your shows. How to upload your music to iTunes and digital media. Online radio stations and how to submit your music for airplay. Advice on venues, promotions, showcases and open mic nights in the area. To book a place and to be added to the waiting list, please call 01702 836 649 or email innovationstudiosuk@gmail.com. All right, let's get one more. Ray in Shoebring S. Hi, Marcus. Do you have any accounts advice for professional musicians? Yes, I do. That is in as much as everybody's different, Ray. Everybody has different, you know, ways of doing things, and everybody has a different way of earning a living. For myself, basically, it's as simple as you write down every penny that you have and that you earn through music. So for me, it's all the lessons that I do. I make a note of all of those, all the shows that I do. Most of them have invoices that I've sent, or agents' invoices that have been sent to me. So I have a record of every show that I played and everywhere I was, and also every amount of money that I got paid from that. So if you have it in writing, that's what you did on that date and that's what you earned. And then if the accountant then wants to go to the agent, they'll say, yeah, that's the contract I sent. Or they'll go to the venue and the venue will say, that's the invoice that was given to me. So everything corresponds. When it comes to expenses, then you have to be careful, because of course, if you're a musician and you're a musician for a living, then musical equipment that you buy, so guitars, strings, microphones, anything that's enhancing your show, anything that's working towards your show, or in my case, studio equipment to make my podcasts or my recording or my songwriting or anything like that better or you know, more accessible, then usually that can go through. Where you have to be careful is things like petrol, because if you have a car that's basically, that's a business car, that's the only car you use to go to gigs in, so you might have a van that you use only for gigs, then you might be able to put the petrol through and the insurance and stuff like that on it. But if you have a car that you're using for, you know, school runs or, you know, it's a family car, you can't put every penny of petrol through. You can only put the petrol travelling to and from gigs through. And also mobile phones. Everybody, you know, of course you are booking gigs on your mobile phones. You're taking work on your mobile phones. But also you are probably chatting to, you know, cousin Susan on there now and again, or ringing your mates, or, you know, going on Coral and putting a bet on, or you're using your phone for other things. So again, they'll probably only allow you a certain percentage of that. Now, I'm not saying that this is the way. I'm just giving you my take on it. So anything that's music related that you buy, you know, if you buy a pair of trainers, you know, to go running in, you can't then put them through a stage wear, because, you know, very few people wear running shoes while they're playing gigs. But if you need to buy a new suit, say you're in a corporate band or something, and that's what you're using it through, then 9 times out of 10, you can put that through. But if you're buying a suit from, or hiring a suit for a wedding, you know, it's common sense. Don't put that through, Ray. You know. In my case, I always try to account for where I was, what I earned, and what I spent to get there. It's headaches, but, you know, there are things like keep receipts and stuff like that. The good way that I used to have, not so much now because everything is digital now, so a lot of the time everything is kind of, you know, people have made a note of it digitally, but I find that things like, if I'm getting petrol, I try not to get petrol with cash. And if you get petrol with cash, get a receipt. If you get petrol with your credit card or your debit card that it's in your name, then you can then go through that and highlight that as a payment for petrol. So it's trying not to miss anything. And all you do at the end of it, Ray, I know it's obvious, but you take out what you've earned and you weigh it up against your expenses, and then there's your net total at the end. What it is, or what it should be, or what's, you know, what the bracket is, I've got to be honest, I don't know. I have a great accountant who takes care of that for me and helps me out. But if you're buying a bunch of flowers for the missus, you can't put that through your music accounts, okay? If you're going for a meal, well, you can't really put that through as a business meeting. I know some people do in the city, but that's different. I don't know how that works. 9 times out of 10, I think if you do put through a meal at Harvester, and it's a meeting with an agent over lunch or something, then they should be putting it through too, because it's a business meeting. So if I were to meet with an agent, I'd say, okay, look, this is we're going for lunch. I want to put this through my expenses. He or she would need to put that through their expenses as well. And if you're the only one who's put it through, and they ask them and they haven't got a record of it, you know, they'll turn you over, and you don't want to be turned over. So you have to try and, if you're putting through £12,000 a year and you've got a 200 grand Aston Martin, well, probably nearer to that, probably nearer to £500,000, then you're going to get turned over. You can't put, but most of the time, it pays to be honest, I can promise you. You don't want anybody turning you over because you've made a mistake. So do your accounts, double check your accounts, and make sure that everything is relevant to where you're traveling to, or, you know, but the most important thing is be honest, Ray, and write everything down, keep receipts, and keep your credit card, stuff. Right. That's it for me. I will see you all soon. I'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.